Haramai, good morning. This is Judith Lay welcoming you to Manx Radio and to the podcast of this week's edition of At Your Service. Manx Radio. This morning we're at your service out in the glorious Manx countryside, discovering why praying the Keels Week, which starts next Saturday and is now in its 16th consecutive year, is still so popular, with its week-long mixture of walks, talks, food and fellowship. And as the Israeli-Palestinian conflict is once again making international news headlines, we hear one man's very radical approach to peace. And our music choices today reflect our theme, with a strong Celtic flavour from the folk duo Came, Heather Innes and Jacinth Hamill. Come, O Wisdom of God by Heather Innes and Jacinth Hamill, the traditional folk duo called Came. Came have a lovely repertoire of Celtic sung prayers, and we'll hear more from them later in the programme. But now I'm heading into the Manx countryside in the company of Phil Crane, who's one of the team organising this year's Praying the Keels Week that starts this coming Saturday. But what are keels, and what could ancient remains offer to our modern world? And what's happening during this year's Praying the Keels Week? These are all questions Phil Crane answers as we walk through a tranquil and beautiful glen, pausing as Phil shares some favourite poems, prayers and music celebrating the great Celtic saints Columba and Brendan. And to begin, some words from the Bible reflecting the theme for this year's Praying the Keels Week, Man and Creation.
A reading on creation from the Bible, from the book of Job, chapter 12, verses 7 to 10. Ask the animals, and they will teach you, or the birds of the air, and they will tell you, or speak to the earth, and it will teach you. Or let the fish of the sea inform you. Which of all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? In his hand is the life of every creature and the breath of all humankind.
If we have turned away from your light, Lord, have mercy. If we have by our words, Christ have mercy. If we've been deaf to your call to serve, Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy.
Passage from Leviticus chapter 25, verses 23 and 24, that indicate our role as stewards of God's earth. The land must not be sold permanently, because the land is mine, and you are but aliens and my tenants. Throughout the country that you hold as a possession, you must provide for the redemption of the land.
God of the elements, glory to you, glory to you, glory to you, glory to you.
A poem by the Scottish author Kenneth Stephen entitled Columba. A film lies across the water meadows like a muslin shawl. Birds lament among rushes, their low voices trailing like beads of glass. The sun has not been born yet, remains under woods and hills. Columba goes down, his ankles buried by soft water, by green fronds, slippery, making no more sound than a deer. The swans drift over the water, so white they hurt the eyes. He stops, forgetting everything, as he watches the stoop and silver of their grace, the sudden ripplings of their backs cast by wind, the furlings of the huge wings like shards of ice. They too are prayers, personified, awakenings of God in the morning waterland. He goes on to the strange stone head carved and lying dormant in the grass. Those wide eyes never blinked, the ringlets of stone hair curling about the enigma of a half-buried face. He comes here even though the smiths who cut this have known only gods of wood and loam, have chanted under the wheel of stars, made strange offerings of fire and wheat and gold. Here at the water meadow's end, he finds the Christ, ripe in his heart. His lips brim with words that soar like larks into the sky, almost as if some spring of light and joy wells from the ground beneath. He kneels in the wet softness of the earth and smells the springtime yellow in his veins. Become the place he prays in.
Glory for water as it flows, glory for soil and all that grows, glory for life and love and birth, glory to you.
Brendan's Prayer on the Mountain. Shall I abandon, O King of Mysteries, the soft comforts of home? Shall I turn my back on my native land and my face towards the sea?
Shall I put myself wholly at the mercy of God, without silver, without a horse, without fame and honour? Shall I throw myself wholly on the King of Kings, without sword and shield, without food and drink, without a bed to be on?
Shall I say farewell to my beautiful land, placing myself under Christ's yoke? Shall I pour out my heart to him, confessing my manifold sins and begging forgiveness, tears streaming down my cheeks?
Shall I leave the prints of my knees on the sandy beach, a record of my final prayer in my native land? Shall I then suffer every kind of wound that the sea can inflict?
Shall I take my tiny coracle across the wide sparkling ocean? O King of the glorious heaven, shall I go of my own choice upon the sea? O Christ, will you help me on the wild waves?
sitting in a most beautiful spot. Even if it had no significance whatsoever, it would just be glorious to sit here, to listen to the bird song, just to admire the exquisite natural beauty. But there is a deep and significant meaning to this place, to this low wall that I'm sitting on now. And I'm very pleased that Phil Crane is sitting next to me, who is going to explain to me why this is such a very special place.
Yeah, well, here we are in Cabell Ferric, Patrick's Chapel, in the middle of Glenmore, Michael Parish. And this is one of the keels of the island. Originally there were 200, but I think we're down to about 35 now with visible remains. Typically they measure 5 meters by three, always rectangular. This one is somewhat larger than that, always on an east-west alignment. The east, many chapels, especially in antiquity, would be facing Jerusalem. Sometimes even on the keel, when they've excavated them, they can see the white quartz pebbles, which was their best they could do on decoration near the altar eastern end. This one, I think, dates to the 10th century. We don't know a lot about keels. They probably weren't used for congregational worship in the way we think of today. They were perhaps visited occasionally by an itinerant priest. He might have been a hermit. Over by the southwest corner, there's a cell that's been excavated. And surrounding the keel, too, there's this wider, flat ground which has been used as a graveyard over the centuries, and that itself is surrounded by a kind of circular perimeter embankment. The keels, they would be typically built from maybe the 7th or 8th centuries up to the 12th. It would have been the Irish missionaries who brought the gospel to the island. They would have built the very first ones, maybe the 6th or even the 5th centuries. And over the years, what's happened to the keels? They're all in ruins now. What we're sitting on is a wall about 2 feet high, one of the side walls of the chapel. Some of the keels went on to become the sites of the current parish churches. Some of them have just disappeared. Maybe the stones have been taken for building farms over the years. But there's still 35 left, and they are often in remote and beautiful spots on the island. So that's what a keel is, Judith. And Praying the Keels Week is a commemoration of those keels, and it's a way of visiting them and using them to give praise and thanksgiving to God, often in, as in here, in the natural sounds and sights of creation. They weren't used for congregational worship, as I said, but they could have been used for families. They think they might have been to do with latrines and the quarterland patterns of land ownership. So each clan at the latrine would have had its own family keel. They could have been visited at times of births for christenings, also for masses or for funerals. Wayside shrines, places of retreat, places of hermitage, and often, as here, with a graveyard around them. Our Celtic ancestors would have described these as thin places where we can draw close to God, and that's what we try to do in Praying the Keels Week each year. This year it's from Saturday the 22nd to Saturday the 29th, and there's something on each day of that 8-day week. And we hope that the programme will offer something for everyone in terms of the geography of the island and in terms of how strenuous you want your walks to be. The theme this year is man and creation. It's a chance to see God in his or her natural habitat. Each event tries to offer prayer, reflection, some music, sometimes just silence, and that's lovely. So on the menu this year for Man and Creation, we have a full day walk to open the week on Saturday, the 22nd of May. We meet at 10 at the Royal Chapel of St John's, and then we enjoy a long 8-mile walk up to Glenneedle, Kilvory, the Snuff the Wind mines back to St John's. So that's a long walk, and bear in mind that these long walks, they get off the beaten track, they can be muddy, and so if you can wear walking boots, that would be ideal. Sunday, the following day, afternoon event, families with children especially welcome to this, at Ballygarry Methodist Chapel, always a lovely spot, where we'll be led by Alex Brown and his friends from the Pioneer Church, and they will be guiding us through a labyrinth Monday morning, we meet at the cathedral in Peel, the guided tour of the gardens, and then we'll eat communally at the big table in the Corran Hall. That same day, Monday evening, there'll be a talk by Dr. Henry Uniac, who is the Diocesan Environmental Officer, on One Small Step, A Giant Leap for Humanity. That's at the Prom on Monday evening. Tuesday, another evening event, 7 o'clock, we meet at St. Patrick's Church in Jerby. Short walk, 2 miles to the coast at Sartfield. Wednesday evening again, this is Coach Trip, led by the one and only Frank Cowan. This is our only costed event. It's £15. It will be heading to the south of the island, and booking is essential. I'll give out the website address at the end. Thursday has an afternoon event, unusually close to Douglas, actually. We meet at the Millennium Oakwood Car Park between Tramode and Noble's Hospital. We take in Cronkbun Village, look at Castle Ward Farm, the old keel at Cam Lork, coming back to the Millennium Oakwood, 9 kilometre afternoon walk. Moving on, Friday evening, meet at St Luke's, Baldwin, at 8 o'clock for short service, hot drinks provided, and then we'll stroll up the Millennium Way to the site of the Old Tynwald, where Tynwald was held in medieval times. We'll watch for sunset, and for those who want to stay on after 10 o'clock, we'll have a night walk, so bring a torch along if you'd like to continue walking till late. Then, final Saturday, 29th, another full-day walk to finish the week off. We're going on to private land with the kind permission of the owners. We meet at Christchurch in the Dune, Glenmona, and we will be led on a walk visiting Kielvane on the Barony Estate, Port Cornet down to the beach, Ballaglass Glen, Castellinard, the ancient burial chamber, and then back to Glenmona. Wonderful walk, 9 kilometres, 5 hours. Bring along a packed lunch. That goes for the first Saturday too. But all of these details can be found at the website www.prayingthekeels.org. Praying the Keels is all one word, and Keels is spelt E-L-L. One good thing I think about Keels Week is that it offers an opportunity for people of all faith and none to come along. The events won't be heavy. There'll be prayer, there'll be silence, but I hope it's something that all people can come along to. So do feel free to bring along a friend with you, and we hope and pray that they will get as much out of it as you do. We look forward to seeing you.
Thank you, Phil Crane. And that website address where you'll find the full programme for Keels Week is prayingthekeels.org. Keels spelling K-E-E-I-L-L-S. Once again, Middle East tensions are making the news headlines as violence escalates in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. But as one Palestinian woman living in East Jerusalem said, it's important to consider the personal stories of those caught up in the conflict. And her words reminded me of a story told to me on this programme about 18 months ago by Gemma Simmons, an internationally acclaimed lecturer, writer, broadcaster, and member of the religious order, the Congregation of Jesus, living a life of service in and to the world based on the Jesuit model established by Ignatius of Loyola. Gemma had spent some time living and working in Jerusalem and had this to say.
I went to Israel, went to the Holy Land, and I was living and working at the Tantur Institute, which is an ecumenical institute which seeks to give people a really in-depth experience of the very, very varied people who live within what's known as the Holy Land. So Jews, Muslims, Christians of every imaginable denomination, and coming, as you can imagine, at the whole question of, you know, Israel-Palestine from very, very different perspectives. I suppose the person who really blew me away completely was a man called Daoud Nassar. He's a Christian, a Palestinian Lutheran. His family have been farming land between Jerusalem and Bethlehem for decades, in fact, well over a century. They have the title deed to their lands, but unfortunately, the government has laid claim to that land for settlement. He has fought this and has been to the International Court of Human Rights and to the Israeli Supreme Court, both of which have found a judgment in his favour. But they are still really, really struggling. They're not allowed to build anything, so they live in caves. They're not allowed to have access to mains, electricity or water. It's a really, really difficult, a really suffering life. But at the entrance to Dawood's farm, there's a big stone, and on the stone is written, "We refuse to be enemies." And this man who has, he's in the third generation of his family that is struggling for the right to remain on their own land. He is adamant that he will not be made an enemy of anyone. And he actually runs a thing called the Tent of Nations, where people come from all over the world to learn the art of reconciliation. And it's all very well to talk about forgiveness and reconciliation when you're in a safe place, when no one's taken anything away from you. But when you're in a situation where your most basic rights are being violated day after day, to dedicate yourself to reconciliation and friendship and non-enmity and forgiveness, that's an absolutely astounding thing. He was one of the most luminous human beings I think I've ever met. And I notice, for instance, that at the moment in the political atmosphere of the United Kingdom, there's a sort of violence with which people are talking to each other. There's a resentment and an enmity. People are taking up really quite extreme positions and refusing to accept that the other person may have a point of view. And every time I find myself tempted to be like that and thinking hard thoughts about people who don't see things my way, I go back to thinking about my friend Dawood and I think, Gemma, go back to the Tent of Nations. You can go online. If you look up Tent of Nations, he's got a website where there's an invitation to come and spend some time at the farm and this kind of thing. And people do from all over the world. But his determination to live in peace with his neighbours, whoever they may be, including the soldiers who came to cut down his fruit trees and the people who blocked off one of the entrances to his farm, he refuses to make them his enemies. And in a place like Israel-Palestine, when, as we know, there are really horrendous tensions and great difficulties and, you know, people who've had their families killed on both sides of the argument. To find a man like this so dedicated to peacemaking is just world-changing for me. It was for me. I'll never forget that man. I said to him at the end, Dawood, you know, I'm a nun. I don't have any money. I don't have much influence. What can I do? And he said, tell people our story. Our greatest fear here in Palestine is that nobody knows. Nobody knows what we're living through. And I said, well, that I really can do. And I promise you, when I get the chance, I will tell people of your commitment to living in peace. And that's what I've done.
Graceful Trinity of Love, hear our prayer. You were at the beginning, you are now, you shall be evermore. Grant us peace. With the ebb of the tide, with the turn of the season, grant us peace. Father, Son, and Spirit, hear our prayer.
Thank you, Gemma Simmons of the Congregation of Jesus. And if you'd like to find out more about that peace initiative, the website address is tentofnations.org. And now let's take a look at our notice board, beginning with services this afternoon and this evening. The Royal British Legion was formed 100 years ago this month, and there'll be a service of thanksgiving to celebrate this anniversary this afternoon at 3 o'clock in St George's Church in Douglas. It'll be a full Legion service with Castletown Silver Band, the Women in Song Choir and Londo Male Voice Choir. The Archdeacon, the Venerable Andy Brown, will lead the service, and the Lieutenant Governor and members of Tynwald will be in attendance. I'll be recording the service and it'll be available this evening as a podcast via our website, manxradio.com. You'll find it at the top of the list of At Your Service podcasts. This evening, the Mariners Choir will be in Crosby Methodist Church for a service at 6:30, where Mrs. Rita Norrie will preach. And next Sunday evening, the Mariners will be at the Howe at 6:30, and the Archdeacon will preach. The very popular times of Taizé worship start again this evening at 6:30 in the lovely setting of St. James's Church in Dalby. This quiet, reflective gathering, led by Cheryl Cousins, offers space to be still before God in the busyness of our lives, with simple Taizé chants and readings, an ecumenical gathering open to anyone of all faiths or none. The next Tabor on Thursday evening will be in Port St. Mary Methodist Church this coming Thursday evening, the 20th, starting at 7:30. It's all about the energy industry. There'll be refreshments served and admission is just £5. St. Thomas's Church in Finch Road here in Douglas are currently offering a two-course lunch with hot drinks every Friday between noon and 1:30. A minimum donation of £7 per person is suggested, with all proceeds divided equally between church funds and local charity Bridge the Gap. The Andreas Young People's Film Club restarts this Friday, the 21st. This is in the parish church in Andreas, and doors open at 6 o'clock with the film, which is Matilda, starting at 6:30. Entry is free, but you must sign the register in Andreas stores prior to the night, and there are just 50 places, so sign up as soon as you can. Tokens for a free hot dog are also available from Andreas stores, and the film will finish at approximately 8:15. Looking to next Sunday, the 23rd, and Trinity Methodist Church at Rosemount here in Douglas have morning service at 10:30, led by Mrs. Brenda Kinnish. Next Sunday, the 23rd, also at 10:30, Selby Methodist Church have their annual Blessing the Bees service, led by Derek. Music will be by the Crosby Silver Band, there'll be light refreshments afterwards, and a chance to meet the beekeepers. Also on Sunday the 23rd, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, there'll be an animal blessing service in Ballykilferrick Chapel, and I have the pleasure of leading that. And finally, we now have the new date for the Regal Singers Farewell Concert at Trinity Church at Rosemount here in Douglas. This was cancelled due to lockdown and will now be held on Tuesday, May the 25th at 7:30 p.m. All previous tickets sold are valid, but don't worry if you don't have a ticket. Trinity is a big church with room for everyone, so come along and let's show the choir our appreciation for their 70 years of music making and all the money they've helped to raise for charity over those years. And that's all that we have time for today. Just a little reminder that this programme is also available as a podcast. The At Your Service podcast is available from 7 a.m. each Sunday morning. It's easy to access via our website, manxradio.com, but you'll also find it on all the main podcast platforms too. News for the notice board and requests for your favourite hymns to be included in future programmes can all be sent to me via email, judithleigh@manxradio.com. or by post if you prefer. My address is Manx Radio, P.O. Box 1368, Douglas IM 991SW. I'll be back tonight at 9 with Sundown, easy listening music to round off your weekend. But for now, this is Judith saying thank you for listening, and I wish you and those you love a blessed, safe and peaceful week, and a very good morning.
Station, Manx Radio.